think that the world in which we shall live these next 30 years will be a pretty restless and tormented place. I do not think that there will be much of a compromise possible between being of it and being not of it. Robert Oppenheimer, August 10, 1931. Robert's time in Zurich had been productive and stimulating, but as always, with the coming of summer, he craved the exhilaration and the invigorating calmness induced by Perro Caliente. There was a rhythm now to his life, intense intellectual work, at times to the point of near exhaustion, followed by a month or more of renewal on horseback in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains of New Mexico. In the spring of 1929, Robert wrote to Brother Frank, urging him to bring their parents out west in June. He suggested further that, once the 16-year-old Frank had gotten Julius and Ella settled into a comfortable lodge in Santa Fe, he should take a friend up to their ranch above Los Pinos and open up the place, get horses, learn to cook, make the hacienda as nearly habitable as you can, and see the country. He would join Frank in mid-July. Frank needed no further prodding, and in June he arrived in Los Pinos with two friends from the Ethical Culture School, Ian Martin and Roger Lewis. Lewis was to become a regular visitor to Perro Caliente. Frank found a Sears Roebuck catalog and mail-ordered everything, beds, furniture, a stove, pots and pans, sheets and rugs. It was a great spree, Frank recalled. The stuff arrived shortly before my brother did that first summer. Old Mr. Windsor hauled it up to Perro Caliente with a horse and wagon. Robert arrived with 2 gallons of bootleg whiskey, a large quantity of peanut butter, and a bag of Vienna sausages and chocolate. He arranged to borrow from Catherine Page a saddle horse named Crisis. Aptly named, Crisis was a large, half-castrated stallion that no one but Robert could ride. For the next 3 weeks, he and the boys spent their days hiking and riding through the mountains. After a particularly grueling day on horseback, Robert wrote a friend wistfully, "My 2 great loves are physics and New Mexico. It's a pity they can't be combined." At night, Robert sat by the light of a Coleman lantern, reading his physics books and preparing his lectures. On one trip, fully 8 days long, they rode all the way to Colorado and back, a distance of more than 200 miles. When they weren't surviving on plain peanut butter, Robert introduced them to nasi goreng, an exceedingly spicy Indo-Dutch dish that Elsa Uhlenbeck had taught him to cook in the Netherlands. These were Prohibition years, but Robert always had plenty of whiskey on hand. "We'd sort of get drunk," Frank recalled, "when we were high up in the mountains, and we'd all act kind of silly. Everything my brother did would sort of be special. If he went off into the woods to take a leak, he'd come back with a flower. Not to disguise the fact that he'd made a leak, but just to make it an occasion, I guess. If he picked wild strawberries, Robert would serve them with Cointreau." The Oppenheimer brothers spent hours in the saddle together talking. "I think we probably rode about 1,000 miles a summer," Frank Oppenheimer recalled. "We'd start off very early in the morning and saddle up a horse, sometimes a pack horse, and start riding. Usually we'd have some new place that we wanted to go, often where there was no trail, and we really knew the mountains, the upper Pecos, the surface of the whole mountain range. There were wonderful flowers all the time. The place was very lush." During one memorable ride up the Valle Grande, they were attacked by deer flies, which sting like bees. "So we set the horses to a full wild run up the length of the valle, 2 miles, overtaking each other over and over again to pass the welcome flask after slowing enough to take a swig." Robert showered his brother with gifts. A fine watch at the end of that summer, and 2 years later a second-hand Packard Roadster, but he also invested time in tutoring Frank on love, music, art, physics, and his own philosophy of life. "The reason why a bad philosophy leads to such hell is that it is what you think and want and treasure and foster in times of preparation that determine what you do in the pinch, and that it takes an error to father a sin." Their times together at Perro Caliente were an intense part of Frank's education. When, later that summer, Frank wrote his brother a letter describing his encounter with a burro, Robert replied, "Your tales of a burro were immensely entertaining, so entertaining, in fact, that I showed them to 1 or 2 friends. Robert then went on to critique Frank's prose. "What you said, for instance, about truchas and ojo caliente in New Mexico at night was much more convincing and honest and, in the end, communicative of emotion than your bits of purple writing about miscellaneous sunsets of the past." In mid-August, Robert ambivalently packed his bag and drove to Berkeley, where he moved into a sparsely furnished room in the faculty club. Frank remained in New Mexico until early September, when Robert wrote him that he already missed the gay times at Perro Caliente. He was nevertheless busy preparing his lectures and getting to know his colleagues. "The undergraduate college here," he wrote Frank, "seems not to be worth much, or I should suggest that you come here next year, for it is a beautiful place and the people are pleasant. I think I am going to keep my room at the faculty club. Tomorrow I have promised to cook nasi goreng on a campfire.